Today's daf is Bamitzia daf Samachay. We are holding on daf Samachay and Aleph about 6-7 lines into the page. The Gemara is going to continue to discuss Ribbis, this is Ezer Neshech. We were talking about a while ago how Ribbis Ketsutza is perhaps Yotze Bidayanim, that Ribbis Ketsutza is something that must be paid back. So the Gemara is going to start today before the Mishnah with three different cases where returning Ribbis Ketsutza is not so obvious. It's not so obvious how much to return, it's not so obvious what to return. We're going to have cases of returning Ribbis Ketsutza where there were unusual circumstances. Then the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Aleph is going to discuss if you give a discount for advance payment, is why it would be. The Mishnah is going to tell us that that's okay to do on a rental but not on a sale. That a person says, if you pay me up front, you can get an early bird discount, but that's only permissible on a rental, not on a sale. The Gemara is going to discuss what the difference is between the two. Why a rental that would be okay, and on a sale that would not be okay. On the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to have Machlokas, whether Rav Papa, who was a beer brewer, he was someone who was in the beer business, whether he was permitted to sell beer for future prices today, meaning if today the prices were cheaper and he wants to sell at future prices when they're going to be more expensive, is he allowed to take payment today at future rates? And why Rav Papa held that it was mutter for him to do that? Rav Chama is going to defend his own business practices that also maybe seemed a little bit like Ribbis, but he argued are not a violation of Ribbis. Then the Mishnah on Beis is going to discuss Ribbis issues with selling a field that you're using when you're using it as a mashkon. Meaning, if let's say I lend you money and I'm holding onto the field as a mashkon, is there any problem with seizing the field as payment for the for failure to pay back the loan? So as payment of the loan. And the Gemara is going to talk about if a person got partial payment of a field, let's say up front someone paid 10%, 20%, partial payment of the field, and the idea was that he was supposed to pay more later on. So the question is, and you're leaving it open that the transaction could still be canceled if he doesn't pay more later on. So you don't know how this is going to play out. Is he going to ultimately is he ultimately going to actually buy the field, or is the field going to go back to him? Well, who eats the payros in the interim? Because it could turn out to be a Ribbis problem in either direction, depending on whether the field gets sold in the end or doesn't get sold in the end. So that's going to be a discussion in the Gemara and Amud Beis, and then the Daf is going to conclude with three different brisos that all seem to go against Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Tzad Echad B'Ribbis. Remember, Tzad Echad B'Ribbis is where you have a deal worked out where there are two possible ways that the person can go, and one of those ways would involve Ribbis. Is that Mutter? Is that Aser? So we're going to have three brisos that assume Tzad Echad B'Ribbis is Aser. Rabbi Yehuda had held that it was Mutter. So the Gemara is going to collect three different prices that all seem to go against the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So let's begin seven lines into the page. On Daf Samachay Amud Aleph, we are at Omar, last run line. Omar Abaye, Haiman de Masik Zuzi de Ribisa Bechavre. If a person, let's say, had made a Ribbis deal, Ribbis Ketsutza, they had already arranged a deal, you owe me X amount of money of Ribbis. The Ka'azli, and the amount that they had agreed upon that was going to be paid for Ribbis was a Zuz, a very clear, specific amount. The Ka'azli Chiti Arba Grivi Bezuzu Beshuka. It happens to be you could buy four in of wheat for one zuz at the current market price. So if he's going to pay him back in wheat instead of paying him back in cash, the one would expect he'd give him four sin of wheat as the ribbis payment. That's what he would be expected to pay. But what happened was viavle ihu chamisha. He gave him five sin of wheat as the ribbis payment and not four sin of wheat. So, kimafkin mine, when the ribbis has to be returned, because the halacha is, the ribbis has to be returned when it's a ribbis ketsutza, it's yotze b'dayanim, certainly you have to give back the ribbis. So when you give back the ribbis, arba'a mafkinin mine, he only has to return four sin of wheat. Why didn't he pay him five sin of wheat as his ribbis? So shouldn't he have to return the entire ribbis? No, idach uzuli udukamazul gabei. The fifth saw of wheat was just that he was giving him a good deal on the zuz, that the zuz should really have only bought 4 sitin of wheat, but the Zuz bought 5 sitin of wheat. But really, the Rivas was a Zuz. So when he pays him back, he only has to pay him back either a Zuz or the wheat that's valued at a Zuz, which is not 5 sitin, it's still only 4 sitin. So that extra sub wheat, he gets to keep. Rava Amar, Rava says, no. Chamisha mafkinim minei, to make kara, b'toros v'bisa, so liyadei. You can, when you pay back 5 sitin of wheat, because you got all five sin of wheat came b'toros ribis. They all were given to him as ribis, and therefore, if that was the amount that was paid as ribis katsutza, that's the amount you got to pay back when you're giving back the ribis katsutza. So that's one unusual case of paying back ribis katsutza, where it's not so clear exactly how much to pay back. Second case, va'amar Abaye, Haiman demasik arba zuzi deribisa b'chavrei. Not clear why we're changing the numbers in each case. I mean, why it matters to change the numbers in each case. It could just be that these were actually ma'aseh shehaya. These were actually stories that occurred. So they're just reporting all the details as they happened. But I don't think the numbers really matter over here. But let's stick with the numbers that the Gemara tells us. A guy owes 4 zuz of ribis. Now, owes. The deal was he was going to pay ribis. He was going to pay a ribis katsutza, and it was 4 zuz worth of ribis. But the borrower gave the lender, instead of giving him cash for ribis, he gave him a garment, he gave him a beged as the ribis payment. When you get paid back the ribis, because the halacha is he's going to have to pay it back, you can only ask for cash back for the ribis. You cannot ask for the garment back. The garment is considered as if there were two transactions that took place over here. It's as if the borrower paid the lender the cash for ribis, and that was one transaction. That's going to have to be returned. And then there was a second transaction where the lender took that cash and bought a glima from the borrower and bought a beged from the borrower. There's nothing wrong with that transaction. That transaction still stands. So even though it was all done at one time, where I didn't actually give him cash and then have him give me back the cash and give him the beged, we view it as if it were two transactions, one of which is a perfectly valid and binding transaction, so he's allowed to keep the glima. It's only the ribis that he has to return, and that can be returned in cash. Rava Amar, Rava says, I disagree. Glima mafkinin minei. That we could take back the glima itself, we're allowed to take back from him. Why? My taima. We don't want people to say that the glima that this guy is wearing, that look at the beged this fellow is wearing, that that's a ribis beged. That would be an embarrassing situation if everyone would know by looking at that beged that that's a ribis beged. So we'd rather avoid that situation. So we know the circumstances with which that beged was given, so we want the beged given back. So that's a second case where it's not so pashut how to return the ribis, whether you return the item that was actually paid to you or you return cash. Amar Rava, a third case, but this one is not going to be a machlokas Abaye and Rava. Haiman demasik treser zuzei deribisa b'chavrei. A guy owes his friend ribis, and over here the number for some reason, 12 zuz. He owes him 12 zuz of ribis. It's absolute ribis katsutza. That was the deal they made, that he's going to pay him 12 zuz of ribis. Va'agar lechatzer demitkara ba'asara v'ugrine alei b'treser. Now the lender, who is magia lo 12 zuz, at least according to the deal that they made, he expects to receive 12 zuz, has an opportunity to rent a house from the borrower. The going rate of that house is 10 zuz, and the lender says, you know what, I'll rent it to you for 12 zuz, I mean, I'll rent it from you for 12 zuz, but I'm not going to actually take money out of pocket. You owe me 12 zuz of ribis, so you just won't pay me the ribis, and I'll take this house. Now, normally, the borrower would have only been able to get 10 zuz for the house. Now he's getting ki'ilu 12 zuz for the house because he doesn't have to pay his 12 zuz of ribis. But the problem is, this whole deal is illegal. The whole ribis deal is illegal. You're not allowed to have a ribis deal. So how much does he have to give him back when he pays him back the ribis? He didn't collect the ribis in cash. He collected the ribis in living in the house. but the living in the house was really only valued at 10 zuz, wasn't valued at 12 zuz. So does he have to pay him back 10 zuz of ribbis, or does he have to pay him back 12 zuz of ribbis? Ki mafkinim minei, treser mafkinim minei. He has to pay him back 12 zuz of ribbis, not 10 zuz. Amalei Ravach Medivti the Ravina, so Ravach Medivti said to Ravina, v'lei melei ki agra hachi davaka mishtar shili, hashad lo mishtar shili kadagri kuli almu udagra. Why can't the lender say, you know why I was willing to pay 12 zuz for the rental of this house? Because I didn't have to reach into my pocket a single time to pull out any money whatsoever. Meaning, I thought you owed me 12 zuz, and therefore, I figured, even though this house is really only worth 10 zuz, it has a convenience factor. I'm not going to have to, it's not going to cost me anything out of pocket that I'm willing to give at a price of 12 zuz. I'm willing to rent this house. Now that I realize that the whole ribbis deal was illegal and that I'm going to have to pay back all the ribbis, so this is just a regular rental where I'm actually going to have to pay out of pocket, why would I pay 2 zuz more than anybody else in the world would pay to rent this house? Now, obviously, my intention was that I would rent this house at market value if I would have to pay out of pocket. I was only willing to pay extra because I thought you owed me the extra amount of money. So, says the Gemara, no mishum dar milei savarta v'kabalti. He says, well, you made a deal that you're renting this house for 12 zuz. So, it doesn't bother me that, what was going on in your head and why you were willing to rent the house for 12 zuz, that's irrelevant. You were willing to rent the house for 12 zuz, so mela, you still owe me the 12 zuz of ribbis because you collected 12 zuz of ribbis through the living in that house, which you determined to be valued at 12 zuz. So those are the three cases of returning ribbis, ketsutza, where it's not so clear, it's not abundantly clear exactly how much to return when you're returning the ribbis ketsutza. The case where he overpaid by paying an extra saw of wheat, the case of the of giving him a glima, where do you machlokas whether you return the beged or you return the money, and the case where he was socher the bayis as payment of his ribbis. Okay, says the Mishnah now. Marbin al aschar ve'in marbin al amecher. One can make a cheaper price for early payment when it comes to a rental, but cannot make a cheaper price for early payment when it comes to a sale. Now this is critical because this chiluk is going to be very important for other things. What about when you're not selling an item, but it's not really a rental either? What if you're giving the opportunity for a child to go to camp? Every camp, every yeshiva, early bird special. It's $300 cheaper if you sign up by X amount of time. So l'chora, that's exactly what the kind of arrangement we're talking about over here. And our Mishnah is making a chiluk between whether you're doing it al hamecher or on a schira. But this is neither. This is not a mecher or a schira. So exactly what the heter, there's got to be a heter. Every single one, every single camp in yeshiva does it. So what the heter is exactly may depend on how to understand this chiluk between schar and mecher. And the truth is, it's not just yeshivas and the people in business. A dentist once asked me, he does dental implants and he works in Brooklyn. And for whatever reason, people will once the work is done, very hard to get money from people. But before the work is done, so if he tells them, look, you pay now, and you can get a cheaper price if you pay in advance, so that's the best way, the easiest way for him to get paid from people. So is that what you're selling them? You're selling them the implant, or is that schar? It's not a rental, they're not renting, but they're hiring you to do a job. It's a kablan rather than, right? You can't say by something like a dental implant that you're selling them. Someone said to him, how much does the implant cost you? So he says, what, you want it? You could, here, take it. What are you going to do with it? So, it's obviously you're not paying for the thing. You're not paying for the material. You're paying mostly for the service that he's able to do with it. Okay, so let's see. So what does the Mishnah say? Marbin al schar vein marbin al mecher ketzad. So what's the case where how does it play out? Hiskir lo es chatzero. I'm renting you my chatzer. Va'am lo, and he says, im me'ach shavat tenosin li. If you want to pay the rental payments up front, you want to pay a year's worth of rental payments, harei lecha be'eser shlam l'shana. 10 sela for one full year of rental payment, perfectly fine. Vim shal chodesh b'chodesh, but if you're going to pay month by month and you're not going to pay it all up front, sela l'chodesh, then it's one sela for each month. So it's going to turn out that it's 12 or 13 for the year, depending on whether it's a leap year or not. So mutter. That's mutter to do, even though the fact that you're getting that you're getting paid in advance is the only reason you're willing to take less money. That's perfectly fine. The Gemara is going to discuss why. Machlo es sadeu, but if I'm selling you my field, va'amlo imeach shavatanos in liharei shalchabel avzuz. If you want to give me right away, so then you want to pay me right away, I'll give it to you for 1,000 zuz. Im legoren b'shtei masar mana. But if you're going to wait for the shas hagoren, where there's going to the field is going to produce more, and you can wait to pay me till then it's going to be 1,200 zuz. Shtei masar mana is 1,200 zuz. It's going to be 200 zuz extra. Usher, that arrangement is not okay. So what's the difference between the two? Ask the Gemara, Maishna Resha, Maishna Seifa. Why in the Resha by the Schirus is that fine, and why is it in the Seifa that it's not so okay? So Rav Rav Yosef Dami Travayu, Schirus Eina Mishtalemes Ala Basov. Because the rule is, when is the Schirus payment really due? If I go and I rent a house from you, when do I actually owe you the money? Halach is Schirus is only Mishtalemes Basov. I only actually have to pay the money at the end. So Vahai, even though Mata Zimni the Mikvah, meaning it's not that I'm paying extra for the right to hang on to my money for longer. I'm not hanging on to my money for longer when I pay later. I'm hanging on to my money for the amount of time that I'm supposed to hang on to my money. I have no requirement to pay at all. There's no chov whatsoever before the end of the schiras. So mashuhu da'achi shavya, that's the actual value of what I owe you is at the end of each month I owe you one sela. The fact that you're willing to tell me that if I pay you up front, that it could only cost me 10 sela l'shana for the whole year, that's just you're giving me a good deal on the schirus. But it's not, you can't call it agarnata, you can't call it schar for being able to hold on to the money, unless he shouldn't have been able to hold on to the money. The fact that that normally agarnata, the schar for being able to hold on to your money for longer, is considered ribbis, that's when you owed the money earlier, and we're saying, okay, now you don't owe the money, hang on to it for a little bit longer, and now it's just you're going to pay for that time that you're hanging on to the money. But over here, that's not what's happening at all. He doesn't pay for the time that he's holding on to the money. That's the actual price. It could be that he's going to get a cheaper price if he decides to give the money in advance, but that would not be a violation of ribbis, because that's the way that schirus works, that it's only mishtalemes basof. Now, there is a well-known sugya, Maseches Baba Kama, and Maseches Kiddushin, really more prominently Maseches Kiddushin probably, of Yeshna l'schirus mitchila v'atsof, or Eina l'schirus el l'basof. When I rent something, do we assume that I owe you each moment that I'm there? I'm accruing further debt that I owe you for rental of this minute, and of the next minute, and of the next minute, or do we assume, no, Eina l'schirus el l'basof, I only owe you the money at the very end. So Tosav here points out that is not relevant to our sugya. Meaning in our sugya we're saying that schirus is only mishtalemes basov. There is no debate in our sugya about that schirus is only due basov. That fits both shitos of yeshan l'schirus mitchil v'atsof and ein l'schirus al basov. What the machlokas is about in Maseches Kiddushin and Maseches Baba Kama is in principle how does the debt accrue? Does it all accrue at one single moment, or does it happen slowly over time? But in terms of practically paying it, there's no doubt that you practically only pay it at the end. Rav Sachs gives the mashal. You're in a taxi and you see that the meter is going higher and higher. So it's accruing as you're going for the time, for the distance traveled. But no one would say you're supposed to sit there with a roll of quarters and as it's going up, just keep chucking quarters at the taxi driver. Mishtalemes? It's not mishtalemes mitchila v'atsof. That's for sure not. So that's what our Gemara is saying. It's only mishtalemes basof. The question is how we view it in principle. Is it constantly accruing? accruing, or is it only at the very end? Well, l'maynaf kamina, how we view it in principle. If l'maysa, you're not actually paying it, and there's no obligation to pay it till the end, then who cares how we view it in principle? So that's a sugya maseches kiddushin, because if a person decides to be mekadesh with these schirus, so is that a violation of being mekadesh b'milva? Meaning, if you view it in principle that I owe you the money every moment as it's going, so why haven't I paid it yet? Because it's an understanding that yes, I owe you the money, but I'm borrowing that money from you until the end. And at the end, that's when I'm chayiv to pay it. But between the time that it's accrued and the time at the end when I have to pay it, it is a loan. I'm not able to be mekadesh b'milva. The halach is you can't be mekadesh an isha with a loan. You could be mekadesh an isha with kesef, with money, but not with a loan. So that's the real nafkamina that we have. Another nafkamina, Tos points out, comes up in Maseches Avod Zarah and Daf Yutes, where you're building something for an Avod Zarah. You're building a building for an Avod Zarah. So the Gemara says, Higia Likipa, so Ma'amidim Ba'avod, where you keep the Avod Zarah, you get to the dome of the building where they're going to put the Avod Zara, Asul of Nosa. So the Gemara says, and if you build it, Scharo Mutter, you're allowed to keep it. You're not allowed to contract to do such work, but if you do, you're allowed to keep your wages. So the Gemara says, because Yashon L'Schirus Mitchilav Atzelf, that each moment of work, you're getting paid for that moment of work. The Isser is only B'makosh Achron. It's only in the last hammer blow where now you've made it a base of Avodah Zarah. Well, that last hammer blow is worth less than a Shavu Pruta. Whatever you've been paid for was for all the work before. That's if you hold Yashon L'Schirus Mitchilav Atzof, that in principle, the way it's working is that you're getting paid for each moment of work. And at each moment of work, there is not yet a base of Avodah Zarah. But if you hold Eilin L'Schirus El Basof, you hold that you're only getting paid at the end when it's all done at one lump sum, and that even in principle, that's the way we view it. They owe you nothing till the very end. Well, then all your schar would be asur. You're not allowed to benefit from that at all because it's all coming from the Avodah Zarah. So there are nafkaminas in that machlokas. It's just not our discussion. Our discussion is practically when does he owe the money, and that for sure is only basov. Tosus also points out that there is another sugya that discusses a poel being chozer b'chatzi yom. Let's say the poel quits halfway through the day. So do you owe him the money for a half a day's work? So the halacha is yes. But why? If you hold that in l'schiris el l'basof, so then why do you owe him that? He never got to the basof. So why do you owe him? And in l'schiris mishtalemes el l'basof, he never got there. So Tos says, no, basof is defined as whenever he's finished. You may not be finished with him, but if he decided that he's finished, so that is the sof. So that's also not enough gemina in our Gemara. So our Gemara just takes it as a davar pashut. You only pay schiris at the end. That's when schiris is actually due, and therefore that price is the real price. The fact that you're getting a cheaper price by paying earlier, that's a good deal that you're getting. It is not a violation of ribbis when you're paying a higher price later on. That's the actual real price. But when you're selling something, seifa, in the case of the seifa, kivan desvininu, since we're dealing with something that's a sale, uboy lemishkal dami me'achshav, and he really should get paid right now. So the fact that you're paying later on, and you're going to pay a higher price to pay later on, hilkach haganata lehu va'aser. Well, that's classic haganata. That's clearly the schar of being, you're paying extra to be able to hold on to your money for a little bit longer. Because normally when you buy something, you got to pay right away. Why is it that you're allowed to pay later? The guy's being nice to you and he's letting you hold on to your money. Well, if he's charging you for the right to hold on to your money, that's ribbis. That's a violation of ribbis. That's the difference between the resha and the seifa. Amar Rava, Daku bar Rabbanim baham milsa vukma akra, the vukmu akra. The Rabbanim looked for a pasuk that could maybe that could highlight this point, that when it comes to a schirus, you're allowed to get an early bird special, but when it comes to mecher, you can't. Kischir shana b'shana, schir shal shana zu ein mishtalemes ela b'shana acheres. That the rule by schirus is the rental for this year is not due until next year, and that's the halacha, that it's ein mishtalemes ela b'sof. And we darshan from the word shana b'shana, that you're, the schir shana of this year is only paid b'shana, in the next year. Tells us a little bit bothered because in the second parak of Bechoros, the Gemara darshins that ein tormin min achadash al yashan, because it says shana shana, that you're not allowed to take truma from one year on another year, from this year's stuff on last year's stuff, because it says shana shana, and doesn't shana shana imply this year has to be for this year? So isn't that against our Gemara? Our Gemara says we learn from shana b'shana that this year's schirus gets paid next year, not that this year Schiris gets paid this year. So Tosfos says one little letter in the Hebrew alphabet can make all the difference. Shana Shana implies this year's stuff has to get paid this year. Shana Bashana means this year's stuff is getting paid Bashana Haba in the next year, and that makes all the difference in the way that we understand it. Okay, the im legorin b'shnei masamana aser. The Mishnah had said that if you're selling a field and you tell the guy, look, you can give me a thousand zuz right now, or if you want to wait for the shasa gorin, it's going to cost you 1,200. That's aser. Amr of Nachman Tarsha Shari. Rav Nachman, however, says a Tarsha arrangement is mutter. What is a Tarsha arrangement? Says Rashi, Limkor Schora Bamtana Biyosar Midameha, Ubulvaj Shlo Yifari Shlo Imme Achshav Harelucha Bepachos, El Yimkor Stam Bekach Bekach Leon Ploni. What if you never identify how much it would cost if you're selling it today? Look, we may know the market value for the sale today. So we may know that if you really wanted to buy it today, you could get it for $1,000. But we don't say that. That goes unsaid. All we say is, you'll pay me in 6 months from now $1,200. That's mutter. If you're selling something and you say, you'll pay me in 6 months $1,200, as long as you don't say, and if you pay right now, it will be $1,000, then it's going to be mutter. That's Tarsha. Esve Rami Bar Chama L'Rav Nachman, Varmi L'Rav Ukva Bar Chama L'Rav Nachman. One of Rav Chama's sons asked Rav Nachman the following, V'im L'Gorin B'Shnei Masamana, Aser, didn't our Mishnah say that if you tell the guy you'll pay me $1,200 in 6 months from now, that's Aser? How can we say that it's Mutter? Amrlei, Hasam Katzlei, Hachalo Katzlei. It's like we said, the distinction is, do you tell him what it would cost if he paid right now? If you made a very clear distinction between what the cost is in the future and what the cost is right now, that's what our Mishnah was talking about. That's Taka going to be Aser. But otherwise, it's going to be Mutter. I forgot to mention, the second half of the Tosfos by Shana B'Shana just points out, he says, V'imtomer deperikat kama, gabe b'chor tochlenu Shana B'Shana, Ezo hi shana nechnasis bechavirta aviyomer zu shana shal bechar delomanin l'shnas olam shindol bekislev shnas olam esayemes betishrei yochlad kislev hashtavle l'midrash shaloye nechal ad shana acheres velo betoch shnaso. That meaning, Tosfos just pointed out that if you say shana bishana always means the next year, we have another problem, because the Gemara says, the Gemara darshans by Bechor, that shana bishana is a reference to that same year. It's just that we're darshaning that the year doesn't get determined by calendar years, it gets determined by age of Bechor years. So if the animal is born in Kislev, even though the calendar year is going to be over in Tishrei, or at Erev Rosh Chodesh Kislev, now the calendar year is going to be over in Tishrei, he could eat until Kislev Abba. It goes by years of the Bechor rather than the years of the calendar. So, but if you're really going to darshan Shana B'Shana means the next year, so why don't we darshan that it's even into the next year? So he says, Yesham Mishum Demuchach Krad Nechal B'Toch Shnaso D'Chsev B'Yom Hashmini Titnuli, because there's a pasuk that sounds that it has to be eaten within the year. So that's why Shana B'Shana doesn't. So what Tosfos comes out is actually three chilukim. Shana Shana means within the same year. Shana B'Shana means the next year. But if you have a Shana B'Shana where it's muchach, that it's within the same year, it has to be within the same year, but we define year differently. We define year not by calendar year, but by the year of the animal. Okay, Amrafa, so now going back to the story of Tarsha. So we said that if you don't make the price in it, you don't say what the price would be for today. You only say $1,200 for the future, that's mutter. Amrav Papa Tarsha Didi Shari. Rav Papa says, yeah, my Tarsha deal is for sure mutter. What was Rav Papa's Tarsha deal? So Rashi points out, Osa Sheikhar Tamarim Haya, Umochla Bizmanazul Batishrei Kshar Shal Nisan, Umamtanoa Nisan. Apparently, beer would go up in value around Nisan time. Rav Papa would supply beer all the time, though. He would supply beer in Tishrei as well, even when it was very cheap. But even in Tishrei, he was charging Nisan prices. He would say, look, you don't have to pay me now. Pay me in Nisan, but in Nisan you're going to pay me Nisan prices, even though he's delivering them the beer right now. So that the Rav Papa says, I'm perfectly justified in doing that. My time, why is he perfectly justified in doing that? After all, don't they owe him $1,000 today, and because they're paying him in 6 months from now, they're paying him $1,200? No, he says, Shecharoi lo pasid. I don't mind hanging on to my beer till Nisan. I don't need to sell it today. It's not going to get ruined. It's going to be perfectly fine. And Zuzi lo tzrichne. And I don't need the money. I'm a very rich man. Rav Papa happened to have not needed the money right away. He had plenty of money to live off of. They want the beer now. I mean, I'm perfectly happy to wait and not sell them the beer till Nisan, but they want 6 months of beer drinking out of this, so they want the beer right now. Okay, I'm happy to give it to them right now, but that's for them. That's not for me. As far as I'm concerned, the sale is a Nisan sale. It's not a Tishrei sale. It's not a sale that's happening right now. So Rav Shesh Brei Ravidi says, Rav Papa, are you sure about that? That's okay? I mean, you're looking at it completely from your perspective. So from your perspective, it's a Nisan sale. Today means nothing to me. Well, my chazi mar dekazalta basa didach, zil basa ditu. Maybe you should look at it from their perspective. Dilu avalu zuze avashakli kiashta. If they had the money to pay right now, they wouldn't be buying beer from you in 6 months from now's prices. They would find someone who's selling today's prices, and they would be able to get this beer for $1,000. The reason they're paying $1,200 is because they don't have the money on hand right now. So isn't that a ribbis arrangement, that because they don't have the money right now, they're going to have to pay more later on? It's only because they don't have the money right now that they're paying a higher price. So Rav Papa, as much as you feel justified, not so sure, Rav Shesh Brei Ravidi says. So the Gemara does not conclude on that issue right now, who's correct, the halacha. Then Rabbi Chama says, you know, I'm also a businessman, and I also do something that maybe people might question. Tarsha didi vaday shari, but I'm telling you, my tarsha is mutter. My arrangement is mutter. What is his arrangement? So Rashi has to fill us in, because there are details here that the Gemara simply doesn't say. So Rashi tells us, mocher prakmatya haya. He would sell whatever it was, tchotchkes. He would sell something that was worth money. Haya mocher mokum azul kesharshu nimkar v'mokum ayoker. But he would sell it in a place where really it has a cheaper value at prices of a place where it would sell for a higher value. He would send it with people who would bring it to a place where they can get more money for it, and he would say, look, whatever happens to it on the way, I'm responsible for it, it's still mine, meaning whatever happens, I'm accepting the full achrayus. You just bring it to the place where you can get a lot of money for it, go sell it there, you'll get a lot of money for it. And then the messengers, their business was, when they would sell Rav Chama's stuff in the place where they got a lot of money for it, they would use that cash to buy other things that sold for cheap in that location and bring those other things back and sell them for more expensive back home. And they obviously were responsible for bringing all that stuff and if anything happened to that stuff on their way back. So this is not a loan. It's only once the prakmati is sold in the mokom ayoker, in the place where it's worth a lot of money, that they owe Rav Chama the money. So that's when the loan happens. They're taking Rav Chama's stuff, they're bringing it to a different location. The loan is only as soon as they sell it in that location, they now owe Rav Chama that money. So they're borrowing that money from Rav Chama, that's their arrangement, so that they could buy other things there, bring those other things here, sell them for more money, and they'll keep the difference. So Rav Chama says there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's not like I'm selling it to them here where it's cheaper and I'm getting paid at a higher value. I'm only selling it to them once it gets there. It's still mine the entire way that it's being brought there. So that's for sure mutter, Rav Chama says. My taima, why is that for sure mutter? Nichlu deleko b'rishusi. They prefer this arrangement that it should be in my rishus, that it should be that they're not buying it from me here. They're buying it from me over there at the higher price. And the reason that they prefer that arrangement, even though it means they're buying it at a higher price, is because as long as they're selling the great Talmud Chacham, Rav Chama's stuff, people are giving them all sorts of breaks. People are giving them tax breaks, because there was always this understanding of like a parsonage type of arrangement where they get tax breaks for certain things. People were giving them the right to sell things first, because the halacha is that you let the Talmud Chacham sell his things first, so he can get back to his learning afterwards, part of the covenant you give to the Talmud Chacham before anyone else has the right to sell anything, If it was theirs, they wouldn't be able to do any of that. They're only able to get away with that and to make quick sales because they're working on behalf of the Talmud Chacham. So that's the question, whether the Talmud Chacham is supposed to be doing that. There's a tshuva in the Chalkas Yaakov, who was asked where the minug was, that they would always, that every store would give discounts to Talmidei Chachamim. So should the Talmidei Chachamim be accepting such discounts? So first he gets into the whole discussion of the famous Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos in the fourth parak of Avos, and in the third parak of Talmud Torah, where the Rambam is absolutely adamant that a Talmud Chacham cannot demand of other people that they support him so that he could sit and learn. That Torah is not supposed to be kardom lachbarba, it's not supposed to be something that you use in order to demand support from other people. The Rambam is extremely strong about it. And he goes through, he says, all these holy Tanaim and Amorim, Rav Papa had to be a beer brewer. No one in his entire generation had the Kavanah Torah to want to support Rav Papa? He said, of course they had greater Kavanah Torah than we had. Of course they would have been willing to support him. But he would never accept that. How could he accept someone else giving him money and when he has the ability to make his own money? So Chalkas Yaakov starts with that maybe you shouldn't be able to take discounts because you're making the Torah kardam lachbaba. But then he says, you know, not everyone agrees with that Rambam. The Bach has a tshuva and the Beis Yosef also disagrees with the Rambam, and essentially they say that nowadays if there were no advantages to being a Talmud Chacham, no one would be a Talmud Chacham. No one would learn. So there has to be that there are some advantages to being a Talmud Chacham. Then aside from that, he says, well, we see in the Gemara that there's a difference between I demand that you support me so I can sit and learn versus doing nice things for Talmidim, showing respect, a little extra respect, a little bit of anacha for a Talmud Chacham. That he thinks is mutter anyway. And his raya is from here, from Rav Chama. So says Gemara, v'hiltzak Rav Chama, that Rav Chama was correct, that was not a violation of Ribbis, it was not a problem of Ribbis at all. And once we're paskening, v'hiltzak Rav Lazar, we also paskening Rav Lazar, the Ribbis k'tzutzas yotza b'dayanim, so that goes back a little while, and v'ltsakrabiyane damer malihein malidmeyan. And we're also going back to another sugya of malihein malidmeyan, that when it doesn't make a difference whether you pay back in peros or the cash value of the peros, it's all the same thing. New Mishnah. Makla sadav nasala mixas damen. Let's say a person partially pays for a field. Vamlo emesh shetirza have mos vitola shelcha. Whenever you want, bring me money, and then you could take you'll take it lemafreya. So then asur. That's asur to do. He'll vow el sadeh. But if he lent him money and the field is a mashkon, vamlo, and he says to him, imiatanos limikan vatsholoshanim. If you do not pay me back the loan within 3 years, hare he shali. I'm keeping this field. Halach is harei shalom. He's allowed to keep the field. V'kachay baitus ben zonin osa al pi chachamim. And that's what baitus ben zonin used to do based on the psak of the chachamim. Good. Mi ochel peros. In that first case, you got advance payment, partial payment on the field, and the deal was that whenever he gives the full payment, whenever the lokeach gives the full payment, so then he'll be able to get the field. In the meantime, who's getting the who gets the payros from the field? Meaning, let's say the lokeach never comes up with the full payment. So then it turns out that he gets his money back, whatever he did pay, his 10%, his down payment, he's going to get back, and the field and the field will stay by the mocher. So who gets to eat the? But if he does come up with the full payment, then the field will belong to him lemafreya. So who gets to eat the payros in between? Whichever way you go, you have a problem, because if the mocher is able to eat the payros in between, what if it turns out that the lokeach actually bought the field of Mafreya. So it's a halva, and I'm eating peros. Not only am I getting paid, I'm also eating the peros. What if, but if the guy doesn't, if the lokeach eats the peros in between, what happens if the deal never goes through? So I gave him the money, and now I'm eating the peros and getting money back. I'm getting my money back, and I'm eating the peros of the field. So it says Rav Huna Amar Mocher Ochel Peros, that the mocher is allowed to eat the peros. Rav Anan Amar Meshalshen Es HaPeros, that the peros gets kept in escrow until we figure out who really was entitled to it based on whether the deal goes through. Velo pligi. Hadam l'chimaisis kani. Hadam l'chimaisis kani me'achshav. It all depends on the wording of the deal. Did he say that when you bring me the rest of the money, you will be kona? Or did he say when you bring me the rest of the money, you will be kona me'achshav? So that's going to be the determinant. Meaning, Rav Huna says that the mocher is allowed to eat the peros is if you say when you bring me the rest of the payment of the field, you will then be kohen of the field from then on. So even if the lokeach pays the rest of the money of the field, there's nothing wrong with the mocher eating up until that point because it still belongs to him up until that point. But if you say that it's going to be kohen me'achshav, well then you got to put it in escrow. Tanya Rav Safra beribis tevei Rabbi Chiya. Rav Safra taught in the brises of Rabbi Chiya about ribis. Sometimes they're both allowed to eat from the field. Sometimes they're neither. You have four different permutations of who's allowed to eat it. Ani Rava Basrei, he explained. They're both going to be mutar to eat from it if the deal is that you as soon as you pay a down payment, you acquire that percentage of the field. So good, so now that part's yours. So I'm allowed to eat from the percentage that's still mine, and you're allowed to eat from the percentage that's yours. Pam Shashneim Asurin, they're both going to be asur. Damle Lechimaisis Kani Me'achshav. If the Mafreya, the deal is going to go through, so then they're both going to be asur because we don't know how it's going to play out. It might be ribbis. Pam Mocher Mutter Lokeach Asur. Sometimes the Mocher is going to be allowed to eat, not the Lokeach. Damle Lechimaisis Kani. When he says, no, the deal is going to go through when it goes through, when you bring the rest of the money. Pam Shalokeach Mutter Mocher Asur. Sometimes Lokeach is allowed to eat, not the Mocher. That you're cornered the field right now, the rest of the money is only halva. Mantan Shneim Asurim, who's the one that says that they're both Asur? Amar Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua, delo k'Rav Yehuda. It must be against Rav Yehuda. Di Rav Yehuda amar tzadech b'ribis mutter. Because Rav Yehuda, remember, is the one that said tzadech b'ribis is mutter. Over here, you don't know how it's going to play out. One way that it plays out might be a ribis problem. According to Rav Yehuda, that's fine. You're still allowed to eat the peros. You don't have to worry about tzadech b'ribis. That is the first of three brises we're about to quote that all relate to tzadech b'ribis going against the shita of Rabbi Yehuda and tzadech b'ribis. Bezeshem, we'll pick up at the two dots tomorrow with the next brise.